What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 462, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and keeps the podcast going. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Well, just got to keep one eye. One screen is weather right now, and one screen is podcast. Just like late season storm rolling into the like north side of town. I'm kind of northwest. Thankfully, it's kind of moving northeast, but they're saying like 60 mile an hour winds and baseball sized hail. So that's like no bueno for anybody or anything. So I think we're going to be good here, but other area towns getting a little hammered here in just a second.
I'm looking at the
Don't tell me the San Diego weather.
The severe thunders. I'm looking at your weather. Yeah.
Shelter.
Well, hopefully it misses you, because that wouldn't be good, you know.
I think we're gonna be all right. But that's what I'm doing.
If Ryan goes out, we'll know why. It's because of the storm. So But hopefully, like I said, hopefully everything works out. You don't get any damage to the house. You told me you have a garage, so the cars are in the garage. So the hail won't, But I miss it. That's like, sometimes it is kind of nice. Like, I remember just like, you know, when I lived back in PA, you kind of sit on the porch and like watch the storm roll in.
What if there's like a nice rain and some thunder and lightning? That's great. I love that kind of stuff. The severe weather. I live in Kansas, so I like have to be used to it. But a nice rainstorm is always great.
Yeah, we don't get many of those here in San Diego. We have a lot to talk about this week. Really cool keyboard, which is right there, and I'll show it to you guys here in a second. We have a pretty cool case mod this week. NVIDIA, you would think, like, after, you know, how assumed popular AMD has been with graphics cards, that they would not lose market share, but NVIDIA's GPU dominance, we'll be talking about that. There's been some research and how much market share they actually do have. Steam Deck 2 rumors, which I'm super excited about. Some other really cool and interesting things we'll be talking about, and everything is in our show notes. So here's the show notes, has links to everything that we are going to be talking about. So if you hear something or want to reference it later, it's all right here. We have links to everything. And that link is in the description of the video if you're watching on video. So it is all right there. Let's just jump into review. So I took a look at an interesting keyboard. So it is the Red Dragon Artemis K719 Pro Anime Edition. So it's anime themed keyboard here, and I'm just gonna go ahead and show it to you guys, because
you don't strike me as the anime guy.
I'm not a super big I used to be pretty big into anime back in the day. But like, that's what the keycaps look like. They're PPT keycaps, like pretty cool design. And honestly, like that design, like the character design, is actually quite good. The really cool thing that you'll like never see when you're using this keyboard is that on the back, you have that full-on character on the back, which I think looks pretty amazing,
pretty good,
in my opinion. Pretty cool keyboard. Let me turn it on for a second. So it lights up, as you can see, and then you get a little screen here as well. That screen displays the time and the date and your battery level, because this is a wireless keyboard. But you can also put your own logo or GIF on there as well, so you get that. So it is like pretty cool looking keyboard overall. Let me turn this off because I have it connected. I don't want to, exit out
the stream.
Yeah, shut down the stream or do any of that. But let's bring up the actual review here. Like I said, I think this looks good. And we do have a full video on our YouTube channel as well. So if you want more, you want to see it close up and all those good shots, we have the video there. This does come with extra switches, keycap, and switch puller. So this is hot swappable keyboard, so you can go ahead and swap out your switches if you want to. The power cable, or the USB cable, is 90 degrees, and I'll show you why in a second, but you get that there as well, and you get some stickers. The overall size of the keyboard, this is a full-size keyboard, but it's in a 96% layout. So you have, instead of having 104 keys, you have 95 keys, which means you do have a handful of keys that are missing. Most importantly for me, print screen is not on this. which I'm like a big
scroll. You're not missing scroll lock.
You also miss scroll lock. But you can reprogram the keyboard. But what that does is that essentially shrinks the keyboard down about 20%. So instead of having like where your arrow keys are on a full size keyboard, you'd have like the set of keys above it. Everything's just been kind of crunched together a little bit. It makes the keyboard a bit smaller. And I'm actually a fan of this because I don't like massive keyboards by any means. So I like that they've gone ahead and done that. All your indication LEDs are right here. You also get indications on the little screen too for like num lock, caps lock, all that kind of stuff as well. Like I said, these keycaps, they're PPT keycaps, and they look really, really good. And I think like for a generic anime design, I think that the keyboard looks good overall. It's not themed after, at least not that I know of, themed after like a specific anime show or character or anything like that. I mean, it's themed after this character, but I think that's just like their own little character there. As far as switches, this is a mechanical switch keyboard, hot swappable. Like I said, this uses their hi-fi custom switch. This is a linear switch, actuation points of 2 millimeters, total travel of 3.3 millimeters. Pretty comfortable switch to use overall. And then like I said, you get that screen and then you get a knob. This knob by default, it's volume. You can't reprogram the knob, but the knob, if you press it in, you can do things on the display. Like you can go through settings and you can change settings on the keyboard on the display, like lighting and different things like that. I go over that in the video, so check that out. The reason you get that 90-degree cable is because the actual USB connection is on the side. So you can use the USB connection to use this in wired mode. It's also, as I said, tri mode. So you can use it with, there's an included 2.4 gigahertz dongle. You can also use it via Bluetooth, and that switch to toggle between those is right here. And again, the Type-C to charge this up if you need to charge it or just use it in wired mode. You get two levels of adjustment as far as height goes. So by default, it looks like that. And then there's the first mode and the second one, you know, to give you that height there. The keycaps, I didn't mention, they're in an OEM profile, pretty standard. I know a lot of people are used to Cherry. It's very similar to Cherry. So if you're not used to OEM, it doesn't take long to get used to at all. On the opposite side here, there's where the 2.4 gigahertz dongle gets placed. So many keyboards that have a 2.4 gigahertz dongle don't have a little placement for them for some reason. I know a lot do, but some don't. If you're taking this somewhere, like to a friend's house, you're going to lose that little dongle. Like you're just, because it's not big. It's like one of these right. little dongles. So I like that there's a place for it in the keyboard. So if you want to take this with you, you won't lose that little dongle. And then there's just like this kind of, I'm not the biggest fan of this like weird design on the top edge of the keyboard. But that's essentially the keyboard. Like I said, I showed you the bottom, but it does look quite awesome there as well. And then going into... as far as like the lighting, this does have per key RGB backlighting. We don't have see-through legends or anything like that, but it does look decently well if you're in a darker room. The light shines through pretty well on this. And then the screen, like I said, by default, it's going to show time. You can put your own animated GIF on there. And then you can see like your little indicators for like scroll lock, caps lock, all that. Windows lock is on there. You can see your little battery indication, and then your date and all that is on there. And then the software is pretty simple to use. It's nothing groundbreaking by any means, but it will allow you to change the lighting settings. You can reprogram every key on the keyboard except for that function key. So everything can be reprogrammed, has its own built-in macro manager. You can set up things like end key rollover and have like turn Windows lock on. So if you want to set up a gaming profile, you can set it up so Windows lock is on so you don't accidentally tab out of your game. We've all done that. I've done that a bunch of times.
I was just about to say, like, Windows lock is a thing, but I don't know that I've ever, like, window keyed, right? We've hit other things, but you even did last week, I think, on stream. But
yeah, I did.
I don't know if I've ever done, like, a Windows key, which is surprising. But
I usually, like, accidentally tab out. And then this is where you can add your own image or GIF to the screen. You can do it right here. Really easy to go ahead and do. So pretty simple as far as the software. Now, the only thing I would have liked to see in the software is that because this is a wireless keyboard, after a certain amount of time, the keyboard will like go to sleep, but there's nowhere in the software to let you know or to change that time, right? So if you want it to be shorter or like even set up like a wireless profile or like where the lighting's not as bright or there's nothing like that. The software is very basic. I do have a typing test in here. I actually was quite surprised that this keyboard not only like was very comfortable to use, but also the sound profile is pretty good. Pretty good overall, no pinging. There is 5 layers of sound dampening in the keyboard too, so it is going to sound really good. We do have a sound test if you want to go ahead and listen to me type on it. It is very comfortable. I was quite surprised. And the keyboard's only $89.99, which I think is a pretty fair price. Tri-mode connectivity. You get the little screen there. The anime design. It's one of those things. It's like you're going to hate it or you're going to love it. So if you do like the anime design, you're going to love this. They do have a Artemis Pro 719 non-anime edition. That's like a normal one. So if you don't want the anime, you know, you can choose the other one. But overall, like I said, I like the keyboard for what it is. I think the price is fine. I think everything goes together quite well and it just works. So
I mean, you got a specific audience you're kind of going for with this, I think, aesthetically, but everything else about it is great
too, yeah, right? Yeah. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Again, the anime design might not be for everybody. It is missing some keys because they made it a bit smaller. So if you're a user of one of those keys, unless you reprogram, you'll be like, what's going on here? And yeah, no way to set when the keyboard goes to sleep. So that's kind of how I feel about this keyboard. So check out the review if you are interested. And like I said, we do have a full video review on our YouTube channel if you want to go ahead and check that out. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a Haven build by Metallic Acid, who we featured a bunch over the years. So this is his Haven X Metallic Acid build. That's in the Haven, what is it, the 420. The HS420 VGPU. What do you think of the chrome tube in here?
I think it's fine. I'm not usually like... It's not usually like my preference, but I think it looks fine here, especially with the clear coolant they've got going. I think it probably fits this better than just showing clear tubing with clear liquid through it. It reflects well, you know, and just helps with some of that lighting to reflect around. So no, I think it's cool. I do like this case.
Yeah, this case is nice. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I like the color choice. I think it goes well. And again, the color choice, you could make it any color, kind of color that you wanted. You just use blue for the photos because everything's RGB. But yeah, this case just makes it so it's like, yeah, it really, really.
Where's the power supply on this case? Is it right below the motherboard and like in a vertical orientation?
Hold on. No, I think it's on the backside. Maybe not. Or no, I think it's, yeah, it's,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's right down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like this build. I feel like they're, like, we get like crazy builds and all this other stuff, but like, this is pretty, I wouldn't call it simple. It's just very,
it's achievable, right?
It's like, very sophisticated. I think that's what I would call it, because even like the block is just covering the graphics card. Like, it's not one that's showing off a lot. It just has the little RGB element there. So yeah, I like this. I like this. And again, the case makes it very easy to have a solid looking build, because it is a great case overall. Yeah, I think the power supply is.
It is. I went and looked at some of the like the picture that showed the back panel of the case. Yeah. It shows the, right there. So you got the power supply sitting vertically. I like that design there.
I feel like I could do a build like this.
Yeah. It's just some 90 degree bends. Yeah, you got this.
Yeah, I got it. I got this. Yeah. Yeah. So awesome. Shout out to Metallic Acid for this. We have his page linked and everything in here if you want to check out more of his stuff. So yeah, shout out to him. Now I think we're running through this really fast already.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So moving on to news. I need a drink here.
Yeah,
we're running through it so fast.
Yeah, you dried yourself out.
Yeah, dried my mouth. Okay, so, you know, AMD, I think, has made a lot of strides. Especially, like, if you think of, like, the past 5 years, right?
Okay, sure.
Do you remember, like, when, like, AMD hadn't updated their, like, GPU drivers?
And, oh, yeah, their software was, like, a joke. And
yeah, so, absolutely. Like, they've made a lot of strides, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, this generation... I think we are moving too fast. I keep on coughing here. So like this generation, you know, they focus on a specific price point, you know, and a lot of people were very happy with that because one, they had allocation of graphics cards. Yep. Two, the performance was really good. It was good value. It seemed like compared to NVIDIA, they seemed to get what gamers wanted at that price point. Their software has been great. FSR has been adopted quite a lot. And you know, it wasn't, you're not getting the massive value add. Like NVIDIA was just way, like the value add, not just the, you know, graphics performance, but like all the other stuff. AMD has caught up, yep. Right?
Yeah.
So you would think like, you know, maybe AMD's capturing some market share. Like there's a little bit of market share coming AMD's way. Not a lot, but sure. Like, you know. The
time could turn, right? We're not talking Ryzen levels of swing here, but yeah.
Yeah, but you would think, you know, the market share's just a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
New research came out that NVIDIA has 94% of the discrete GPU market.
Wow. Like, that's wild that it's that slim of a margin. And it's not like AMD has the other 6%, right? You got to throw Intel in there.
I mean, it went from Q2 24, AMD had 12%.
They'd lost half in 6 months.
And I don't know, like, what do you think? Do you think it's just availability?
I don't think so.
I
feel like it's maybe even more like it's established, right? NVIDIA just like has that history of being available.
You also have to think too, plus scale. At least for this generation, if you want 5080, 5090 level performance, there's nothing from AMD.
Right, right. That's the only option you have are the NVIDIA cards.
Yeah. So AMD went from having 12% to 8% to 6% since Q2 of 20, like for the past year.
Yeah, and like you said, there has been availability, right? It's not like these cards were that hard to get. Early in their life cycle. So it's not like we can blame it on that to say, well, nobody can buy them. So of course you're going to lose market share. I don't know. How does this just, well, it says discrete GPU. Does this also include cards that are slated for AI use?
I'm not sure.
Because if it's everything, this makes a lot more sense, right? AI is just gobbling up.
That is true.
All the chips that NVIDIA can make. And so in that last year, absolutely, if it were only like GPUs slated for the consumer market for actual like gaming, right? What we want to use them for, then I'm more surprised.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's very, very, very interesting. Just to see that number. But yeah, I don't know if this includes AI. But yeah, I mean, NVIDIA is just this behemoth, you know, and they can continue to underdeliver to gamers and still be this behemoth. Because like I said, if you want a graphics card in that segment of 5080, 5090, they're the only player.
Right.
And who knows what AMD will do next generation. I don't think Intel's going to compete anytime soon.
Not at that level,
in that segment either. I mean, they're barely competing in the segment that they've gone for. And I mean, NVIDIA does have that value add, right? You have great software. You have all of the new games using all of their technologies. They work with game studios to highly optimize the games for NVIDIA hardware. You have NVIDIA broadcast. You have all the new AI gaming features. Like, there's so much, you know, DLSS, which is a game changer, especially if you're in that sort of mid range, and you want to maybe game at a higher resolution. Like, I mean, yeah,
absolutely.
It just kind of makes sense. I mean, if you were buying now and you had the budget, would you do an NVIDIA, like, not a budget for like a 5080, 5090, but like, you know, 5070 level?
I utilize some of those extra tools, mostly the NVIDIA broadcast stuff, right? To just cut out background noise.
Yeah.
So I want that. It's a familiar, it's well supported, right? Like, so yeah, I would still be in the NVIDIA camp.
Yeah, it's like 9070 XTs are selling for, let's see, on Newegg. That's a 9070, not an XT. I think 9070 XTs are selling for like $719. That's the Asus Prime. And that's on Newegg. And then 5070 Prime. I know the 5070 Prime was actually on sale on Amazon.
Oh, it's nice.
I mean, 5070 Prime is $549.
Seems enticing.
Yeah. Or 5070 Ti. Let's see. How much 5070 Ti Prime? That's going to
be a little higher, I'm sure.
That one's $749. Yeah, $740. So around the same.
I'm going to pay that premium for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
For the NVIDIA. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I would too. I mean, and again, it also depends on the game that you're playing. Like, if you're only playing one game and it's better optimized for a certain hardware, get that hardware. But I still think, as all the strides that AMD has made, I still think NVIDIA is overall the better choice going down the line, I think. Yeah. If you're, especially again, if you, you know, I'm swapping out graphics cards because I'm testing stuff, but like, if you're buying a graphics card for like the next 5 years, I think you'll be better suited. It's not bad. It's not like the disparity that we saw previously.
Right.
But
well, spend that extra up front, especially if you're keeping it for that, you know, 5 years, because that extra that you've paid up front is going to just pay for itself over that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be worth it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so pretty interesting numbers there. Moving over to AMD and CPUs, we do have some rumors about AMD Zen 6. Which we'll jump some nodes here, and the CCDs, the chiplets, will actually be based on TSMC's 2-nanometer nodes, and the IO dies will be on the 3-nanometer nodes. This stuff is slated late 2026, maybe for holiday. That'd be a nice little holiday gift.
Oh yeah,
Zen 6 CPUs. Yeah, I've heard a lot about TSMC 2-nanometer. I don't know if they just ramped up mass production. I saw some story about that, but yeah, I mean, this will definitely be a game changer. I think AMD has done so many things right when it comes to Ryzen. So yep. Yeah, that'll be definitely something exciting around that time period. It's so long to wait, but yeah, I mean, are you ready for a new round of CPUs?
No, it just makes my 5000 series chip feel that much older, but I'm still happy with it. But it makes me sad knowing we've progressed on past it. You know what I mean? But the seven gigahertz number is super exciting. Cause we've kind of been stuck in this like 5 period. Right. But here we're seeing, hey, maybe we'll hit 7. So yeah, it's exciting. I'm not ready for it though, but you know, if we're looking late next year, okay.
Do you think there'd be a point? Well, I guess there wouldn't be, but like, because we've seen AMD just keep on coming out with like all these X3D parts. Do you think they would just like only come out with X3D parts? They
right, wouldn't just make it the de facto now.
I don't think, because like
they can split it. They can split up their, you know, SKUs, yeah, so that they've got more options for those people that don't care about it. Right, if you can,
or that don't need bucks, that aren't gaming, like they just want,
right, CPU, yeah, don't care, don't need it, spend that extra difference, like we always say, you know, either more memory or some extra gigs on your SSD, or you know, spend it somewhere else if you're not going to take advantage of those features.
Yeah. So yeah, Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see what happens with all of that. Now, we saw the laptop at CES, the Lenovo laptop that had the screen that rolled, that rolled up and gave you a pretty cool vertical screen. Well, they're also working on something else, and this is called Project Pivo. And essentially, it's a screen that you can rotate. So if you did want the vertical screen, you could do it. I think this is a lot more cost effective too, because that rollable display costs a lot of money. I think that you could buy that rollable display. I think it's like, it's very expensive.
Yeah, no, I like this idea a lot.
If you're a coder or Discord or some other things, it's anything you want in that vertical display, like vertical form factor.
Yep.
You know, this is actually quite cool. So
plus you don't have to worry about like, that Lenovo with the rolling screen is cool, but you can still see the waviness to it, right? This, it's your same screen. It's flat. It's not going to be wavy. Yeah, I like this configuration adjustment, right? Where you can adjust from one to the other quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's probably a lot faster than the screen that scrolls up and out.
Well, right? It takes a little bit of time. Like I said, the cost difference is just, it's just going to be, know. Yeah, I think, like I said, I like this. I like that Lenovo's still like innovating when it comes to these things, because I feel like we're just, you know, we're all in the same type of thing, same type of laptop. So this is actually quite cool to see more things like this, even though like it's pretty niche as far as like usage. Yeah. But I think having the ability to have it, if you do want to use it, is great. So. So yeah, more, we'll have more information on that when it actually, you know, gets announced and all of that. So yeah, from there we have Sapphire. So of course we know Sapphire for graphics cards, and they have launched motherboards, but not in the United States. But apparently they're going to be launching their Nitro series motherboards in the United States, starting with their B850 motherboard, which you can see right here. Again, these are previous, they have some really cool designs as well. And I'm a big fan of Sapphire when it comes to graphics cards, and I've seen their other motherboards, haven't had the chance to like get my hands on with them, but having them in the United States gives them better adoption. You know, having another player in the motherboard space, I'm a huge fan of. It's just, you know, and again, you could kind of match your Sapphire graphics card with the Sapphire motherboard, which again, I love.
Yeah. There's some of those design cues there with like those triangular shapes that we've seen on their coolers. I think some of their AMD cards. Yeah. I think this is a great, like you said, having another option is always.
Yeah. So we'll see like how the adoption is in the United States, because again, primarily available in China, that's probably going pretty well. So now they're going to move in all the logistics of the United States too, especially now with tariffs and things like that, makes it a little bit more difficult. So hopefully people buy these and we see more and more Sapphire motherboards available in the United States. Cause like I said, some of the designs are pretty awesome, but like we can't get them here in the United States. So it would be nice to see more Sapphire motherboards available in the United States if this goes well. So we'll keep you updated on that as well as it kind of goes along here. Have you used a Logitech mouse anytime recently?
Not recently, no.
Okay.
I just, no. I stopped using them actually a long time ago, outside of the office. Like, we have some at work, but I don't use them too often.
So Logitech has like a cult following with their Super Light series. Obviously, the name, very, very light. And the Super Light 2C has leaked. So this is a very compact and small Super Light mouse. And I think a lot of people have been upset with Logitech for not doing certain things. So, you know, this is 53 grams, 7 grams lighter than the original, uses their Hero 2 sensor, which they have been using. 8 kilohertz polling rates. Yeah, we'll see how people think about good. Yeah, what people will think about the size and the design. People just rip Logitech apart. Like, it's all like
well, they're such a huge company, right? Like,
yeah, and you have like a lot of like more niche brands coming out with things that are like pretty extraordinary too. And then you have like this massive brand like Logitech, and like people have just been so upset again with the super lights. No innovation, no real change in shape, and it's just been so yeah.
Isn't the body of it like just a single piece?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that.
Yeah. So it's very, like I said, we'll see what happens with this one. I can't, like, some of the people, because I've watched some video reviews of like some of the super lights, and like some of these, they just rip Logitech. So we'll see what this one does. But again, 53 grams. And that Hero 2 sensor is quite nice. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. And then we'll move on to Steam Deck 2. And when it comes to these portable gaming handhelds, it seems like, at least with Asus, like in Lenovo, like their refresh cycles, like every year we got to have a new one. Every year we got to have a new one. And Valve, and like the original, the OG of the real PC experience gaming handheld, I mean, everybody's been wanting a Steam Deck. We've seen the only real upgrade that you've gotten from the original Steam Deck is the OLED version.
Right.
Beyond that, no real updates or anything like that. And I honestly think that they're doing it right, because you have these little iterations of like, oh, we put a better battery in it, or oh, it's a minor upgrade. It's, you know, this little rumor of a 2028 release. I mean, that's still pretty far. I mean, we're 2025.
I saw this story too, and I was like, 2028, come on. Like, I don't know. To me, that's way too far out for like availability, right? Like, who knows where we're going to be at? That's 3 years away.
Yeah, but you have to have a product cycle, and I don't know.
I mean, yeah, but
what would you like to see in a Steam Deck 2?
Having not used one, that's a tough question to answer. I think it always seemed very like bulky to me compared to others. It always looked like it was a little thicker, or just like,
yeah,
I don't know. The handhelds seem big, but again, I haven't ever used one, so I can't like talk to it too much. So I'm always for like a lighter weight type of device. But past that, I mean, I think, you know, I get the point of having a higher refresh rate on these things. Sometimes I think they maybe make them a little too performant, and you could maybe save or maybe get better battery life if you went with a lower refresh rate screen, right? That's still perfectly acceptable. Go with like just a 90 or something, right? Like, I don't know. That's my thoughts on it, I guess.
Yeah. I think ergonomics, I would like to see change on the Steam Deck a little bit. But I think if you think about the Steam Deck now, it still competes pretty heavily against the other gaming handhelds that came out way later.
Right. It's very established. So yeah, it has held up very well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that, I mean, 2028 is a while off. I mean, I think the whole landscape could be completely different by then.
Right.
You know, you know, like you could have like, I don't think it would, but like you could have like a little eyepiece that gives you this crazy display. Yeah. We have this crazy technology we've never seen before, or something crazy where we don't need this handheld, right?
Well, we've seen how fast other companies have come out with these devices, right? Mm-hmm. Like they and the reiteration already, like you just said, right? We've seen these little iterations. They've been able to do it that quickly. Now but at the same time, Valve is like not known for doing things quickly, and they'll, you know, release it when it's done type of thing. So
yeah.
But what I didn't tell you, I got a handheld.
Oh, nice. Which one?
An Asus.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge though. I picked this up.
Oh my god,
it's super comfy.
I have mine somewhere. I think I still have that.
Yeah, man, it's huge screen, nice and comfortable. No. was in my son's room or like redoing his room, and he had that on his bed because I gave it to him after CES, and I was like, hey, I need to borrow this for the podcast.
Oh, nice, nice. So. Yeah, I would like to see. I think you're right. It is a little bulky. Form factor size, I think battery life will be like, if you could get one of these where it's like unplugged gaming, like 5 hours, that would be amazing. Because most of them are like two.
And if you could do something where you like slot, like our action cameras, right? Like the DJI Osmo Action is what I have. You've got one. I've got a 360 camera, right? If we could do some sort of like swappable batteries in these things, so like you drain the one, just have it pop out and pop back in and keep going, right?
Yeah,
they don't have to be super thick, like just slot them in and out. You could do it.
Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen.
You don't think that's gonna fly?
No, okay. I don't think that would happen. But
I mean, you can always just plug it into a battery bank, I guess. So
yeah, I mean, you can plug in, like a lot of them support fast charging now and all that. But yeah, I just think the technology is going to get better. We're going to get better screens. The price hopefully will be coming down too on a lot of these components. And I think Valve did such a good job on the first one. People are really anxious for because everybody's coming out with so many, like they want another one, right? So we'll see what happens. 2020, it's a long time. Everything could be different. NVIDIA could come up with this killer mobile thing. I mean, because AMD's been kind of crushing that mobile game for the most part. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Maybe by that time I'll actually have a use for one of those things, because I don't use the one that I have now. Talking about gaming handhelds, Aya Neo coming out with, I really like this because, okay, so you get a Steam Deck or you get even any of these like retro ones, most of them in this form factor. So if you look at this form factor, have like the 16x10 or 16x9 screen. This new one from Aya Neo, this is their Pocket Air Mini. It has a 4:3. So all of the retro games that you're going to play are going to look right on this. This is going to compete against the Abernic RG406H. Very affordable. Obviously runs Android. Joysticks, plus you get everything else. I like these. There's just so much choice now, especially in this segment too, not so much the high-end like PC replacement segment, in like the retro emulation segment. There's so many cool companies coming out with really, really cool devices. And obviously, yep. Aya Neo has been, they have so many cool devices. So excited for this one to come out. Yeah, I don't. Now that I have the Lenovo, I wouldn't get one of these, but I had been thinking about getting one of these, like for like the plane or whatever, just play some old retro games and stuff.
No, I pulled mine out the other day and was playing something on it for a little bit. It was fun.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think they're just a lot of fun, and yeah, it's cool to see so many companies come out with them as well. So love that. Talking about that, like, you know, when we talk about retro gaming, especially like retro console gaming, we all remember, if you're old like us, like me and Ryan, like you remember, you know, you have to get your cartridge and you got to put your cartridge in and you got to blow on the cartridge sometimes. It was always the cartridges. You always had your cartridges in games, like physical games, right?
Yep.
Well, somebody has created an OS for emulation gaming that's very cartridge-like. So this is called Kazita OS. And essentially, it reads cartridges, which are little SD cards, with your games on them. And the OS doesn't work unless you have a cartridge inserted.
Okay.
So it gives you that sort of like, insert my cartridge.
Yeah. We did it out of necessity, not because we liked having to switch between games, I think, right? Give me a menu with all those games. Don't make me like have a card and that I have to install. I don't know. It's neat, but like I'm fine with just having a digital menu and I don't have to swap things out.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. It says, you know, give you that nostalgia, DRM free, you know, it's supposed to work with all DRM free games. Like you have the cartridges, simplicity, and like the only thing you can do if you don't have a cartridge is save your game. Like your game saves are actually saved on the PC, but everything else is run on this OS. I think it's cool. Like you said, if I was doing emulation, I would just have all my games ready to go. I wouldn't like create these like cartridges. I think it's cool.
Now they did say something up in the article, you know, about the confusion that you can get in some of these launchers. And we have so many launchers and like the menu structure and just like, now I got to get a payment thing here and I could get the game in Steam or I can get it in the EA launcher or the Epic store. Right. Like,
yeah.
So having like, here's the game. It's like on this card. And when I put it in, that's what it does. And that's the only thing it does. I get that simplicity. Is there a better way to do it? Probably. But, Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's interesting. It's pretty cool. And like they show it with like, you know, you have your little mini PC emulation machine, the SD card slot, you just plug it in. So that'd be pretty cool. So yeah. Would you create a little mini PC for that?
No.
No? You wouldn't do it?
I'll just run a little Raspberry Pi. I mean, I already have one of a Pi set up for this.
Okay. Company. Yeah. I think very much the same. Talking about gaming. So new Steam survey came out. We're getting very, very close to where 16 gigabytes is not the standard for RAM and systems now. So new Steam survey showed that where they're almost coming to parity where 32 is going to, like, if you look at the graphs, it goes like they're going to go like that, which makes sense. I mean, you know, we have 8 gig DIMMs. So you got 2 8-gig DIMMs at 16 gigs, and now we're getting 16 gig DIMMs where you're going to have a 32, 12s even. So 32 is going to become the new standard. Not that it's needed in a lot of cases. It's just like the availability and pricing. It's like, okay, well, 16 gig is this much, like 32 gig.
I'm glad I have 64, which is overkill, and I have never come close to like reaching that, but like right now Task Manager is showing 18.8 gigs and I've got Chrome open now. Granted, I have a dozen tabs open because I monitor our stream on multiple things, and then I have YouTube TV going on the side because of the weather. But you know, I have Discord running, I've got Spotify up and ready for the stream later, but I don't have a lot going on other than that, and I'm using almost 19 gigs of
memory. I'm using 17 gigs.
Right, and you're not doing anything, no heavy lifting, right? These damn browsers with their sucking up memory, right? So yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all.
But yeah, that's going to be the never. You know, you used to tell people, 16 gigs, fine, you'll be done, fine with 16, and now, you know, now. I think if you're building a gaming PC, I always tell people 64 just to like, you know.
I mean, 64 is still a lot, in my opinion.
When you come to pricing, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like the difference between 32 and 64 is not crazy, so it might as well get this. And again, a lot of people are like we just talked about with like graphics cards, like you're building this PC for like the next 5 years or however long, so you kind of want to future proof yourself just a little bit, and I think that would be the way to do it. So yeah, interesting there. Also, Battlefield 6, which we're waiting, needs to come.
I know, October can't come fast enough.
Yeah, so Battlefield 6, no ray tracing at launch, which
it's fine with me.
Makes sense, but also I feel like they're trying to hit a number, and you can't hit that number if you completely expel certain groups of people, right? A lot of games these days, it launches with ray tracing, or like the game is built with ray tracing. You can't turn it off. It's part of the game. Whether, you know, and if you're on an older GPU, you essentially can't play the game, or an older system, you essentially can't play the game. So for Battlefield 6, no ray tracing at launch, maybe be added in later where it's something that you can turn on, but the game will function without any type of ray tracing, which, again, I think is a good thing. It makes it so, again, there's a wide availability of this game to, you know, based on the system. And again, I think Battlefield or EA wants to hit a number so they can put it out there. Oh, this is the best selling, right. whatever. Oh, or best selling Battlefield because we hit this number. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well. But I also think that it just makes sense from a adoption standpoint to not have these features, right?
Well, you know, like when the beta was up and running, like I was running on my system fine, but I was running on my son's system as well, which is an 1800X and a 2070 Super, right? Essentially my old rig. And it was running great. Like, I mean, it wasn't running 144 hertz or anything higher than that, but it looked smooth and fresh, right? And even though that's an RTX card and has some capabilities, like if it was required to have ray tracing on that 2070, it would not be a good experience, I don't think. So I'm glad that they have bypassed that requirement and are just kind of going for a wider player base. I think that's the smart thing.
I think it just makes sense, and I think they're going to hit that number, especially after the Call of Duty trailer. I think, and the game is a lot of fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun playing it, I think. So, yeah, we'll definitely be doing a stream or something when the game comes out. It's just going to be a lot of fun. We're all going to get the game. You got to get Tucker the game.
I know. I'm sure I will.
Yeah, so.
I guess I could get it for him. His birthday is Friday. I could, like, make that part of it. But then I don't want to make him wait that long. You know what I mean? Like, hey, here's a birthday.
Yeah, gift. But he'll be so happy when it comes out and that he's, you know, he can have it. So yeah, that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at, it's definitely the most expensive.
A nice keyboard.
Yeah, the most expensive keyboard that I've ever reviewed, the Asus ROG Azoth Extreme. Currently sitting at $500 for this keyboard. It's just, it's pretty.
I mean, it's decked out, but
that's has real so carbon much fiber money. On. Yeah, like, yeah, it's all decked out. It's really, really nice. I'll be telling you all about this.
What do they say the carbon fiber?
Well, like
material, one of the what's the advantage of it in here?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so they're saying metal-like rigidity plus some flexibility. So okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this keyboard that like other keyboards just don't have. Lots of cool stuff. It came in a really cool package as well. So I'll be taking a look at this and I'll be telling you guys all about it. So definitely stay tuned for this one if you are a keyboard fan. And talking about keyboards, we'll just roll right into our question of the week is what is your current keyboard that you're using? We usually always talk about keyboards at the end of the episode. Yeah. So
I am still using my Corsair K65 RGB Lux. Yep.
Wow.
It's got an aluminum top to it, a plastic body, but cherry reds. I've had this thing for, 10 years probably, and I'm probably going to use it till it dies.
That's really,
I
it's just it's like this just so and this is to it. This is like pre, so like Ryan's keyboard, like you said, it's like 10 years old, right? This is like pre-dampening,
these aren't hot swappable switches. It does have per key LEDs, right? Because IQ was able to do that back in the day. You know, I'm stuck with the cherry reds. Thankfully, that's fine for me for gaming. Not that I don't have keyboards that I would like to use. You know, I've just bought two recently.
And I can't, like, the nice sound ones. Profile on that keyboard can't be great.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah. I think for me, like, sound profile is so important these days. Like, it is just so important. At least for me, because I'm doing a lot of typing on this keyboard. Like, it's comfort and sound profile for me are like two of the, like, yeah.
If I used it a lot here to type on, I would probably swap it out. But my main use for it here on my desk is just like gaming and then some typing, right? At work, I use a low profile Cherry keyboard, right, with PVT keycaps, and it has a much more comfortable typing feel for me and like a better sound profile. So that's kind of my combination there. What are you using right now? You're using an anime keyboard, right?
No, I was actually using it for a while. No, I don't know, but I'm using
what have you gone back to?
The cheap $40 keyboard, man. It's that good.
Okay.
It's right. the Epo Maker F65. I mean, like it's right here. I have it. Yeah. Like this thing, just again, comfort and sound profile. It's a great size. I like the colorway. And it's just, yeah, it's just a very comfortable, and like it has it has one of the best sound profiles of any keyboard that I've reviewed. It just, they did the sound dampening correctly. And it's just a good overall keyboard. I like the way it looks on my desk. The white with the blue just goes really well together. Yeah, like there's not much else to say about it. 65%, which I think is perfect for me. You know, PBT keycaps, like, and you can see all the sound dampenings. Yeah, like they've done everything quite well with this. I use it wired. You can use it wirelessly if you want. Comes with the dongle. Like it, and again, current price. Let's see. Current price is $50.99. So when we reviewed it, it was like 40 something. It's gone up a little bit. But I mean, look, 100 people bought it in the past month. It's that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the price is right on that. Just for
I mean, that's super affordable.
Yeah. So like
what you're getting.
And I, like I said, I do like smaller keyboard on my desk. So this is just, yeah, great overall. So I really like it. So yeah, that's the keyboard that I am using. Anything else tech related you want to talk about?
I don't think so. As I always do, I'm looking around my room to see if I've bought anything.
If you bought any tech things.
That's ended up down here. No, but just do it. You know, I like... Probably my purchase of the year or like last couple of years has been my 3D printer, just like printing out random items. I've been doing a lot of desk organization, printing out Gridfinity like dividers and, you know, organizing my cables better. Oh yeah, there's your 40K figure you picked up.
Yeah. It's not bad. That's pretty cool looking. Details pretty cool on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Warhammer 40K figurine that I have here. I need to get some more stuff for this desk. I feel like I need some desk accessories.
I need less stuff on my desk. It is a...
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah. So that will wrap it up for this week, guys. A little bit of a shorter episode by, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. But still lots of cool stuff going on. You know, we are going to be doing some gaming here. So that's going to be done on Twitch. So we end the stream and then we go over to Twitch. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan has that stream up. We're playing some Apex Legends since Battlefield 6 is not out yet. So we'll be doing that. So if you want to keep on hanging out, definitely head on over there. Thanks everybody for coming out, and we'll see everybody next week.